This is a podcast from WOR.
You never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind. And presented by Melrose Credit Union, this is the Taxi Dave Show.
Don't you go, oh my little soldier. You were my first love.
It's Sunday night. And you're listening to the Taxi Dave Show. I'm Taxi Dave. We're here with Frank Venezia. How are you, Frank?
I'm doing well, David. How are you?
I'm fantastic. We are broadcasting from the Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum Complex. You might have heard Soldier Boy at the beginning of the show. It is Memorial Day weekend, and we will be speaking a little later in the show with Councilman Eric Ulrich, who is the chairman of the Veterans Committee. And we will also be speaking with Senator Jeff Klein. In fact, I want to thank you, Frank. After we talked about my experience with used cars, and we'll probably talk about it again, trying to buy a used car, Senator Klein had a press conference about predatory lending on used cars. So we will be speaking about that. Thanks for getting him on the show, Frank. But first, I want to talk about a couple of things. Okay, here we go.
Breathe.
I was on my way home, okay, I'm at a red light a few miles from my house, and I get rear-ended, stopped at a red light, I get rear-ended, everything on my dashboard ends up on the floor, my head shakes, I'm like, what the heck, and, pull off to the side of the road, the car behind me hit me, and luckily there was minor damage to my car. The car behind me, the whole front end was gone. You know, the grill, the hood, the headlights, you saw the bent steel. Apparently, there was a third car who hit the car behind me. So I go up to the car, and he's a young kid. And I'm like, hey, what the hell happened? And he just had two words for me. My bad. You're 19 years old. I look at your driver's license. Is it any wonder that insurance rates are so high for male drivers under 25? I'm stopped at a red light. Do I really need to be rear-ended? What if it was you? How would you feel? Frank.
I'm trying to just, number one, I'm sure the language may have been a little bit different, but listen, I'm amazed at the statement that when you spoke to the kid, and that his answer to the whole thing is, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? I didn't mean it, but my bad. So I think I need to check the definition. I got to take a look at Webster's and see if the definition has changed to see what my bad actually means.
Is it in the thesaurus?
Yeah. Is it somewhere? Someone needs to call in and tell us what my bad actually means, because maybe it's a definition has expanded a bit. So that was his response. My bad. Not, oh my God, sir. I am so sorry. Not, is everyone okay? But my bad. And you're right. You know what? He's keeping the rates. He's the reason why the rates are where they are. He's doing his part to make sure insurance rates are as high as they possibly could be.
Now we have all these bike lanes in New York City. For those of you who don't know, if you haven't been to New York yet or in a long time, the streets do not look the same because there are dedicated bike lanes, which means there are islands between the sidewalk and about 12 feet out or 10 feet out for bikes only. And I'm driving down Broadway in Lower Manhattan. And by the way, it's the stupidest damn road in America now. If you drove at 28 or 23 miles an hour 30 years ago, you could actually go from 220th Street in Broadway all the way down to the South Ferry on one light. That's a fact because I did it back then. Now you can't go two blocks without hitting a red light. Because in lower Manhattan, the left lane is parking, the right lane is parking. The next to the right lane is a bus lane, so there's one lane for vehicles. For the busiest street in America that goes through the busiest financial center in the world. One lane for all the cars. Brilliant thinking, folks. That's really great work, DOT. I'm so proud of you. And as I'm inching down, you know, the street, I have a green light. I'm at Spring Street where the traffic flows towards the west from right to left. And as I'm accelerating, a bicycle crosses right in front of me from left to right. I have to hit my brakes, and I have the green light. I mean, what the heck is the matter with these people? They got their bike lanes. He's going the wrong way against the light. I mean, what's this world coming to in New York City?
A little bit. You know what? You want to give up all that land to the bike lanes. That's great. How about a little bit of enforcement to make sure that everybody's still safe at the end of the day? It's unbelievable. If you're going to put the bike lanes in place, you know what? There's little arrows drawn on them. How about they have to keep the same flow as everybody else and stay in your bike lane, stay off the street itself?
What would have happened if I hit that bike, Frank, by accident?
Don't even want it. Well, you could say, you could invoke the my bad statement from the previous example, but somehow I think you saying that wouldn't have gone as far, or the police department probably would not have been as receptive to you making the it's my bad statement.
That's right. He would have said, you know, I would have hit him, it would have been my fault, and the blame would have been all on me.
Correct.
Now, I hate to do this. Usually I harp on one thing at the beginning of the show, but two other little things happened while I was driving. I was on the Sawmill River Parkway last night. And by the way, when it rains, don't ever drive on a parkway with the word river in it, just to let you folks know in New York. But it's very late at night, and a car in front of me, I come up upon him. It startled me. He didn't have any lights on. And he's driving 50 miles an hour in the dark on the Sawmill River Parkway. I'm like, what's going on here? Is it only me that sees idiots like this on the road? Is it only me who gets rear-ended at a red light? Is it only me, who has bicyclists going the wrong way against the light in front of me? How do taxi drivers who drive 12 hours a day deal with this? And then some jerk is driving with his lights off. You know, and I'm flashing mine and everything, and at first I thought his lights were... I just don't understand, Frank. And the last thing that happened to me yesterday on the New York State Thruway, I have my cruise control on, minding my own business at the speed limit, enjoying a ride on the New York State Thruway in the right lane. And as I'm approaching an exit ramp, okay, a car passes me in the left lane, turns right in front of me, misses me by inches to get off the exit. He cut me off at 65 miles an hour to get off the exit because he was in the wrong lane. Frank, what do we say if you're going to miss your exit? Do you kill people? What's the alternative?
You keep on going, and granted, they're far and few in between on the New York State Thruway, but you know what? 15 minutes is not going to make a difference in someone's life. Get off at the next exit, make a U-turn, go do what you got to do. Don't put people's lives in danger. It's out of control. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
We're broadcasting from the Intrepid Sea Air and Space Museum on 44th Street and the Hudson River down in Manhattan. It's Memorial Day. This is the Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. And the folks at the Intrepid Sea Air and Space Museum want you to know that tomorrow, Memorial Day, there's free museum admission for all United States veterans, just to let you know. Their program, the breakfast tomorrow morning, is closed. It's sold out. But at 11 o'clock, there's a Memorial Day ceremony where they honor the men and women who've made the ultimate sacrifice while serving in the United States Armed Forces. There'll be an unfurling of a 100-foot American flag, the playing of taps, a ceremonial wreath laying, and a 3-volley rifle salute. That event is free and open to the public tomorrow at 11 a.m. At 12 and at 2, there's an interactive demonstration, How do Submarines Submerge to the Surface? They demonstrate the principles of buoyancy. and it's family friendly. At 12:30, there's a tour talk, a focus on the Hubble satellite, challenge to improve our telescope. It talks about the five bold service missions made by space shuttle crews. 1:30, educational demonstration, what does Hubble do? At 2 p.m., the U.S. Coast Guard search and rescue demonstration, where they have the helicopters come in and, you know, and rescuers jump out of the helicopters into the beautifully clean Hudson River. And at 3:30, there's an educational demonstration. Poof, like a vacuum, what happens to the human body when exposed to the vacuum of space? And the answers might surprise you. That'll be at the Space Shuttle Pavilion here at the Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum Complex. So last week we talked about a press conference. Oh, by the way, I got some phone calls already today. People enjoyed the Washington Square, you know, art sale that's going on downtown, and other people are up in Monroe at the circus at Museum Village up here in Orange County, where I live. And but we also talked about predatory lending on used cars. So Frank, I want to thank you for contacting Senator Jeff Klein. Noah, can we get Jeff Klein on the phone? And with us now is State Senator Jeff Klein, who has more than two decades of experience. He is the leader of the Independent Democratic Conference up in Albany, and he actually co-founded it, okay? He's authored numerous laws impacting health, welfare, economic prosperity for residents all over the state, throughout the state. And what we're going to be talking about is predatory subprime auto lending. But just to give you a little background, he passed legislation that prevented thousands of foreclosures statewide and passed the New York Safe Act, which provides New York with the toughest gun laws in the nation. Fully funded universal pre-kindergarten, if that's being paid, you can thank Jeff Klein. Financial relief for homeowners, you can thank Jeff Klein. I'm a Bronx boy, born and raised, and Senator Jeff Klein is a lifelong resident of the Bronx and actually went to the public schools in the Bronx. So without further ado, Senator Jeff Klein, thank you for coming on the Taxi Dave Show.
Pleasure to be on your show, Dave.
Let's, you know, it is Memorial Day weekend, so let's just go off topic for 1 second.
Sure.
At the Hall of Fame celebration, that's for those of you who don't know, there's actually a Veterans Hall of Fame celebration. And Jeff Klein honored Annalisa Benjamin, who's a captain in the United States Navy Reserve Nurse Corps. She's actually been a in the reserve for 20 years. What was that like?
It was terrific. I mean, it's a great event, Dave. You know, every year we have the privilege of nominating a veteran from our districts. So there's 63 honorees from across the state. And just to see the different backgrounds of all of the individuals we nominate, you know, how they serve their country. You know, we have World War II veterans, Korean veterans, Vietnam, Afghanistan, Persian Gulf, Iraq. It's really fascinating. And they all share a very important common bond. That they were sacrificing themselves, their lives, their limbs, for the freedoms that we enjoy today. And certainly, Aliza was a great honoree, the first woman veteran that I had the distinction of honoring. And she has a great background. You know, she came from the Philippines. She lives in the Pelham Bay section of the Bronx.
All right, a Bronx girl. I love it.
Yeah, she works for Jacoby Hospital. And she took it upon herself to, you know, volunteer, and as you said, she's a captain in the Navy Reserve for over 20 years, and she's provided very important service. You know, she's been to Iraq on several occasions, you know, trains the nurses there, you know, in many cases, sometimes, you know, under fire and, you know, doing her job to treat the wounded. She's absolutely fantastic, and I was very proud to honor her this year.
Well, I just couldn't, I had to mention it. Especially this weekend.
It was great. It was. I really enjoy knowing her and meeting her, and she plays a very vital role in our community each and every day.
Well, thank you for honoring her. Now, let me tell you why you're here and how you got here, Senator. I had an experience, which I discussed on my radio show, and I went to buy a used car. I went online, and I saw a price of X amount of dollars.
And I'm like, wow, if I could negotiate that price down one more thousand, I was going to buy. So I went to the dealership that had a used, had fill, a lot filled with used cars. I looked at the car, and a salesman came over, and I said to him, you are going to make a sale today. And I pulled out my checkbook. We went into the trailer, and I said, this is the deal. I saw what was online. If we can knock that down a little bit, I'm ready to write the check right now. And he said, well, first of all, we have to talk about the other expenses. I said, what other expenses? He said, well, there was a preparation fee. I said, a preparation fee? Yeah, that's $500. There was a destination fee, $500. There was a paperwork fee, $500. And then he tells me, and my commission is $500. I said, I'm trying to talk you down $1,000. You just raised the price $2,000, which is 10% more than the car. Well, you know, you said you wanted to buy. That's what the deal is. And I got up and I took my checkbook and I walked away. And I talked about it on the radio because it was horrible. It was humiliating. I mean, you're advertising a price and you walk in and it's 10% more than you were told with all these gimmicks. And I didn't even get to the point of buying it where they might have even done worse things to me.
Yeah, so, well, you know, unfortunately, Dave, it happens every day. You know, I've seen it all before. You know, I was really ahead of the curve on the whole subprime mortgage lending debacle. And we saw, you know, how it destroyed people's lives. It's destroyed real estate values. It hurt credit ratings. It almost caused banks around the country to fail. And we sort of spotted it early and, you know, tried to help distressed homeowners, try to bring awareness to this issue. And unfortunately, it was too late. But we did do some good things to, you know, help distressed homeowners and, you know, prevent further foreclosures. And unfortunately, Dave, what we're seeing is this alarming trend with the subprime auto loans is really the subprime mortgage problem reloaded. It's happening all over again. And what's worse, they're targeting low-income communities. They're targeting immigrant communities. And these are people who can least afford to get ripped off. You know, we've seen it time and time again. And last month, the Independent Democratic Conference released an investigative report which realizes and sort of shows the top 8 dangerous and deceptive lending practices that are happening right now in New York City and New York State. You know, they include some of the things you talk about, but abusively high interest rates.
Well, like what? What's an abusively high interest rate?
24% and higher.
Really?
Oh, on a car, yeah. I mean, you have individuals going in to buy a used car. And let me just add, Dave, that this is really exclusively being done in the used car industry. It's really not being perpetrated against people who buy new cars in many cases.
So what if you were to, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Senator, but what if you were to buy a new car, let's say for business purposes, you know, maybe for a for-hire vehicle, and they tell you the interest rate's 22%. Take it or you can't get into business.
Well, you know, again, I think in many cases, you know, the new car industry is going to be, you know, a little different. In many cases, you know, people, you know, do purchase cars and they do check your ability to pay. That doesn't happen in the used car industry. Someone walks in, let's say they want to buy a car that's $15,000. They tack on all of these added costs, like you mentioned in your case. And before you know it, you have a high interest rate of 24-30%, and your $15,000 car, once you pay it off, if you ever pay it off, you're now paying $50,000 for it.
Oh, my God.
That happens, unfortunately, every day.
So,
you know, we're seeing the dealer markups that you talked about, which are illegal. We see fraudulent loan applications. In other words, they don't even verify someone's ability to pay. You know, you see all these ads out there, you know, no credit, no job, no problem, we'll still give you a loan. Well,
right.
That's happening, unfortunately, every day. And in some cases, we see deceptive advertising practices, as you saw in your case, but it gets even worse, where they're really targeting people who are on SSI, who are on specific benefits, where they clearly know what their monthly income is. They know they can't afford a monthly loan, but yet they're giving them a loan and taking their car away after a month when they fail to pay.
So they repossess the car. knowing that they're going to add on all kinds of fees because they couldn't pay their loan on time. So that $15,000 car, you know, what, have you heard of a very outrageous case particularly?
Well, it gets even worse, Dave. What we see also is GPS tracking devices and vehicle kill switches on cars. So in other words, they know someone's not going to be able to pay. They have the GPS tracking device. You don't pay a monthly payment, and they repossess your car, and they know exactly where it is. We even had worse cases where they have these vehicle kill switches. Well, they'll turn off the car when someone's driving on a highway. And it happens all the time, and it's unfortunate, and people are really getting taken advantage of. We also have, you know, the abusive, you know, loan ratio financing. They call it sort of yo-yo loans, where you walk in, they'll put you in a car. They don't even question whether or not you have the ability to pay. And then when you take the car home, they'll call you the next day and say, you know, your loan application was rejected.
I was going to bring that up, you know, because somebody had mentioned to me they thought that it was great. You know, the original sale was like, wow, I drove the car out. They went to the motor vehicle for me. I didn't even have to sign a check. And they called me 2 days later to tell me that, well, my credit isn't that stellar, which he knew at the beginning. And now the only way to keep that car is to take a predatory loan, basically, is what it turned out to be.
That's right. You know, again, you know, they're preying on people that need a car to get to work. They can't work without a car. And in many cases, you know, people show up and they probably have, you know, enough money to buy the car in the first place if they get a reasonable price. But, of course, they increase the price of the car. The interest rate is very, very high. And they wound up getting a car that they can't afford. And they probably had the money to buy a car in the first place, but they get into these ridiculous loans. You know, the bottom line, Dave, is if you can have no money, no credit, no job, and get a car loan in New York City. And that's just wrong.
We're here with Senator Jeff Klein. This is the Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Our phone number is 800-321-0710. And our email address is taxihale@aol.com. Now, you did hold a press conference with Senator Savino.
Senator Savino and Senator Peralta from Queens.
And there was a comprehensive package of 11 bills.
Yes, we have a comprehensive package which we introduced a couple weeks ago. We also held a hearing in Albany where the superintendent of finance in the state, of finance and insurance, actually, financial services, Ben Lawski, who's done such a great job in the subprime lending industry.
Sorry to see him go.
And he, you know, he acknowledges that it's a problem also. And remember something, you have a lot of the big players that are actually in this industry as well. You know, it's not a lot of these fly-by-night companies. Some of them are, but, you know, a lot of them are in this. You know, a lot of GMA and a lot of the big mortgage, you know, people are in this. And, you know, the same thing is going to happen that happened with the subprime mortgage because you have these repackaged loans, and these individuals aren't going to be able to pay these loans. And you have these loan brokers, in any case, that's what they are, used car dealers and loan brokers, that are just, you know, churning these loans and getting as many as they can. So it's really a problem because, you know, this is really the next bubble to burst, and it's going to be on the backs of hardworking New Yorkers.
Now, you said just a few minutes ago that a $15,000 car could cost you
$45,000? $200%
more?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we see it all the time. So, you know, our goal, Dave, is, you know, really very clear. First, we want to develop regulations for these auto lenders. Right now, they don't have any. We want to hold auto dealers accountable for their market practices and the way they represent themselves during sale negotiations. And we also want to instill much-needed consumer protection reforms when it comes to this specific auto industry. Because I think the only way we're going to deter fraudulent applications, we want to increase lender liability and declare lenders jointly liable for all claims against the dealership when they are aware of fraud.
You know, dealers filling out income statements that are fraudulent I mean, what does anything happen to them now, or do we need this legislation to penalize them or have an investigation?
We do. Right now, it's just a slap on the wrist, and I think part of the problem is right now there really isn't the same type of, you know, policing of this industry. So that's why we're asking the Department of Financial Services to investigate and issue a report on the correlation between auto financing rates and race or national origin, because we feel they're also targeting, you know, communities of color, immigrant communities. And we really want to bring the jurisdiction, you know, especially the enforcement of these cases, under the jurisdiction of the Department of Financial Services, who I think can do a very good job. They're already cracking down on the banks as far as subprime mortgages are concerned. I think they would do a very good job on cracking down on these subprime loan applications as well.
Well, there you have it, folks. Senator Jeff Klein, working for you, helping people who have no voice, helping people who can't really help themselves and are being taken advantage of by unscrupulous used car dealers, especially used car dealers and their salesmen. Let's not get it wrong. There's a lot of great used car places and great used car salesmen, but it's unfortunate that one bad apple out of a thousand really ruins it for the whole industry. And when people who need a car the most and are made all these golden promises, you know, only to have their vehicle repossessed or to realize they can't afford to pay for it, you know, it's unjust. And I just have to thank you so much for everything you've done for the people in New York State, Senator.
No, well, thank you, David. I think, you know, you getting, you know, ahead of this issue and publicizing this issue and providing, I think, a very important education process for the people of New York State, you know, will make people think twice about entering into these loans. And I think we did something important today, because I think financial experts, attorneys, and New York residents, you know, we represent, you know, have sounded the alarm, and I think we intend to take some action. And I thank you for allowing me the time.
Well, and when I go up to Albany, I'll say hello.
Looking forward to it, Dave.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that was Senator Jeff Klein. He fights for you. And if you live in the Bronx, you're very lucky to have him fighting for you. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll take some more of your phone calls and read some of your emails. You're listening to the Taxi Dave Show. I'm Taxi Dave, at least I think I am, and we're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here.
Seriously. Why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Sunday night, Taxi Dave is back. This is the Taxi Dave Show here with Frank Venezia. I want to thank Senator Jeff Klein for coming on the Taxi Dave Show. A little later in the show, speaking of uh-oh, we'll have Jason D'Amico, oh-oh, and he needs a little help with a contest. Also, some information from the Briarwood Action Network to do our due diligence. Right now, let me just move this along here. Council member Eric Ulrich, I've had the honor of speaking with him a number of times. He's a New Yorker. He was born and raised in Ozone Park, a section of the Queens. He actually at one point contemplated becoming a Catholic priest, and after graduating from Cathedral Prep Seminary, and thanks to the generosity of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn, he studied political science on a full scholarship and graduated from St. Francis College. February 2009, Eric was elected to the city council in a nonpartisan special election. He has a reputation for being an honest person, an outspoken person, an independent voice at City Hall. I don't mind saying, and in his case bragging, one of the few Republican council members. He won re-election in November of 2009. He's a strong advocate for Hurricane Sandy victims, many of whom live in his district. Delivered rapid relief and resources to them following Hurricane Sandy and helped them through the bureaucratic red tape. And many of them are still struggling to rebuild their homes. In 2013, Eric was reelected to the city council again. And he was appointed chairman of the Veterans Committee. And that really brings him here today. He's held hearings on important issues, including veterans, homelessness, access to mental health issues, and other important topics. He's been able to secure funding to support critical services for veterans. And, you know, so many recommendations. I mean, he was appointed to serve on the Board of Trustees of the Queen Supreme Court Library. And it just goes on and on. You know, the Knights of Columbus, Kiwanis Club, Jamaica Rotary, 102nd Police Precinct Community Council. And I can't talk anymore. If I read all his credits, we'd go till the end of the show. Anyway, it's an honor to have Councilman Eric Ulrich. Welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
Dave, thank you for having me.
And I know you have a very busy schedule on this Memorial Day weekend. You certainly know more about veterans affairs than anybody I've ever spoken with. But before we go there on this Memorial Day weekend, I'd like to ask you a question. You know, can you explain to me what's going on? I mean, do we really need more police officers in New York City? A lot of people seem to think we do. And some people aren't providing funding. What's going on, council member?
Well, there's a lot of things going on in the city right now, and I think our city right now is at a critical point in our history. I think people realize that we're at a crossroads, and we can go in one direction and continue to make progress in all the areas that we've made in reducing crime and creating good-paying jobs and making New York City an attractive place that people actually want to come and visit and live and open a business and raise a family. Or we can go back to being a city where people are afraid to visit, where people don't want to come, or where people actually leave. And I think that's really one of the points that we're at. And that's why, for instance, hiring more police officers is so important and such an important issue right now, because of the fact that we have made so much progress that we need to continue to fight crime and reduce crime. And we simply can't do it with the police force that we currently have. They do the best that they can, but they're stretched to the limit. And if you talk to any of the commanding officers in the precincts or any of the cops that are actually on the beat, they'll tell you about all the overtime and the stress that they have to go through on the job. They desperately need more police officers. Consider the fact that after 9/11, we had almost 40,000 uniformed men and women on the police department, and now we've got under 35,000. And every year we lose more and more through attrition and retirement and people going to Nassau County and the Port Authority, where they make twice as much money and deal with half the nonsense. So being a cop these days is a very, very difficult job. It's a thankless job in so many ways. And I greatly admire people who do go into the police academy and who want to be good police officers.
So why can't we
get... But there simply aren't enough of them.
Why can't we get more police officers? Is there a financial issue?
I think it's an ongoing discussion right now between the administration and the city council. It's a budget issue. That is an issue that we are keenly aware of. The council has been very, very vocal on this issue with the administration and in the media, letting everybody know that we believe that we need more police officers. Because don't forget, the police officers that are on the job now, many of them are going to be promoted to sergeant, to detective. They want to take on other positions and other roles. And we have to backfill those positions. And if we don't have people in the academy ready to go at graduation to assume those positions in the various precincts and the impact zones, you know, we're going to be at a disadvantage. And I don't think anybody wants to be at that point.
Well, as long as they don't key in and on small businessmen like the taxi drivers in New York City.
You know, raising taxes should always be a last resort. It shouldn't be a knee-jerk reaction. And I think, unfortunately, part of the reason why New York is such an unaffordable place to live now is because the cost of living is so high because the taxes are so high. But we could spend a whole day, a whole radio show on that topic. I really don't want to get into that tonight.
Hey, Frank, you've gotten some emails about taxi drivers getting summonses who've been working for 30 years and never got one?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we cover the spectrum. We get emails from folks who haven't gotten summonses, and then we hear the vocal opinion of some folks who feel that, you know, the officers that are out there are just kind of targeting them, and you know, the drivers feel like they're just being looked at as a cash cow. I mean, you know, we'll probably be getting some emails shortly. I'm sure some guys are going to be looking to call in because we've heard some statements in the past where they feel that the contributions that they've made for summonses could probably help hire some of the 1,000 new officers that the city may be looking to bring on.
Well, I'm glad the councilman is stating that the new police officers is to fight crime. I mean, that's what it's all about, safety and fighting crime as opposed to just, you know, using small businessmen as a cash cow.
Well, I'm very concerned about that. I don't want to see the city use any inspector or police officer as an avenue to generate revenue. That's not why we hire them. That's not what we train them to do. We are training police officers to be the finest in the country, probably the world, to fight crime, to fight terrorism, to get illegal guns off the streets. That's what we need the police officers out there doing. In addition to enforcing the quality of life concerns and issues that people have, if someone's driving recklessly or someone is intoxicated, you know, that person deserves to be arrested or ticketed or what have you. But, you know, the cops are not there to raise money for the city. That's not why we have cops in the city. And I think it's demeaning to cops to reduce them to simply as being, you know, there to generate revenue for the city's coffers.
Drive a cab for one day, Councilman. You'll see what it's really all about. Anyway, Memorial Day weekend. You had a wonderful job fair for veterans on Friday. And I want to thank you for allowing Melrose Credit Union to participate in that job fair.
Well, this is the second year in a row that we've had a Veterans Job Fair on Memorial Day weekend, and I certainly appreciate the participation, not only of Melrose Credit Union, but over 60 other companies and employers and agencies who came out to meet veterans, to connect with veterans who are looking for good-paying jobs, who are looking for good job opportunities. Why is it important that we have Veterans Job Fairs at all? I mean, it's kind of a sad reality that veterans have a higher unemployment rate than the rest of the civilian population. It's very sad that we have so many homeless veterans in the city, sleeping not only in the shelters, but in the streets and in the subways at nighttime. Veterans have served our country in every war and every conflict. They're men, they're women, they're black, they're white, they're Catholics, they're Jews, they're Muslims. They come from every background, from every borough. And in New York, we have more veterans living in the five boroughs than some states have in their entire state. We have over 225,000 veterans that live in the city of New York. And they have needs, and they have to have access to services. And the most important thing that we can provide for them is a job for veterans who want to work, because veterans don't want a handout. They want a paycheck. And so what we do is try to connect those veterans with good job opportunities like the ones that you provide, but also other good-paying job opportunities that are available to them. And we had over 85 veterans come to Resorts World Casino. We're so grateful that Resorts World donated the space last year. Russo's on the Bay donated the space, and we had quite a few veterans come out. And veterans actually leave with jobs. It's not a career fair. We don't teach people how to tie a tie or type a resume. And what we tell employers is, if you're not hiring, please don't come. This is not a chance for you to come and take a picture and put it in your brochure, your pamphlet, and let everybody know how much you support the veterans. We actually want you to come if you're hiring for certain positions and you want to hire veterans. Please come. But we don't want to give the veterans the runaround. We don't want to waste their time. We don't want to waste my time, certainly. But this is a very positive way for us to demonstrate our profound respect for veterans and for their families and for the sacrifices they have made on our behalf. And quite frankly, it's a very positive way for us to honor the dead, which is what Memorial Day is all about, keeping alive the memories of all of those men and women who died on the beaches of Normandy, on the battlefields of Korea, in the jungles of Vietnam, in the deserts of Iraq, in the mountains of Afghanistan, time and time again, and from generation to generation. Veterans fighting, and in some cases, making the ultimate sacrifice so that you and I can sit here in the greatest city and in the greatest country that God has ever created on the face of the earth. We can never say thank you enough to them, but this is a small token of our appreciation to let them know we love them, we respect them, we admire them, and we're going to take care of their fellow comrades who are still with us.
Just one more thing, Council Member. When we were speaking earlier, you mentioned the statistic that just... You were talking about the suicides of veterans in the United States. Can you tell our audience what's really going on?
I think a lot of people will be shocked to know that on average 22 veterans take their own lives every day in this country. That is substantially higher than almost every other demographic. Veterans bear the scars of war and deal with mental anguish. And when they come back home, they have to battle with a health care system that's not fully equipped to deal with the complexities of post-traumatic stress disorder, for instance, or other issues related to their service in the military. And as a result of that, there's such a high amount of veterans who simply kill themselves. They feel hopeless. They're in despair. They've got other mental issues. That is an area where we are not doing enough to help veterans. When I say we, I mean, you know, we as a government, city, state, and federal. Everybody supports veterans. All the politicians are at the parades today waving the flag. That's a good thing, by the way, but it's not enough. Because tomorrow and the next day and the next day and next week and a month from now, a month after Memorial Day, there are veterans who feel that we do not care about them or that we are not there for them. And that is a sad reality for them, and quite frankly, it is a black mark on us and something that we need to correct and work to correct. We need to invest the resources and get veterans access to comprehensive mental health coverage and quality care in the city, in the towns, in the counties, not only in New York, but throughout the country, so that no veteran, no person who puts on the uniform and takes the oath of office ever feels like they don't have any other choice but to end his or her own life. That is a sad reality that we have to do everything in our power to prevent.
Council Member, thank you for filling us in on all that. And I want you to know the yellow taxi industry supports you. I want to thank you for always being a friend to the small businessman in New York City, and especially for all the work you do for veterans. Exemplary. What could I say? Thanks for being part of the Taxi Dave Show on this Memorial Day weekend.
Dave, thank you. God bless our troops. God bless America.
Okay. When we come back, we will read some of your emails at taxihale@aol.com. Our phone number is 800-321-0710. And we'll mention some stuff about the Briarwood Action Network and one of the greatest up-and-coming guitarists, Jason D'Amico. So stay tuned for more of the Taxi Dave Show.
Seriously, why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable. But how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
The Taxi Dave Show is back. It's Sunday night. This is the place to be, WOR 710. I'm here with Frank Venezia. So what do you think about our discussion with the council member, Frank?
Listen, I think the council member gave some great insight, a lot of detail, obviously very passionate about what he does, you know, veterans affairs, adding members to the police force. I mean, definitely he's got a lot on his plate.
We have a lot of emails. Let's see. Sujan, how are you? Hey, I'm fine. Almost every Uber dispatch start with a phone call from either the driver or customer side while the car is in motion. That's happening openly. Do something about that, Taxi Dave. It's very dangerous. Thank you. Okay. Thank you for that. From Steve, cops should have more time to stop jaywalkers and reckless bicyclists to make New York City a safer place. And this should be part of Vision Zero, not writing phony tickets to taxi drivers endlessly. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate that. And we have an email from Sarah from Edinburgh, Scotland. I love New York City taxi drivers. Hey, see? People listen to us all over the world, folks. And then Marilyn from Sausalito. I've purchased 14 vehicles in my life and almost got ripped off 7 times. So Marilyn from Sausalito is averaging 50% on good purchases. Wow. Briarwood National Action Network, you know, Melrose Credit Union is located in Briarwood. We are not broadcasting from our beautiful Melrose studios tonight, but from the Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum complex down on 44th Street in Manhattan. Just to let you know, in Briarwood, on May 29th at 4 p.m., there'll be a rally in support of the Queens Library at the Briarwood branch. Also, they will be in Hoover Park in Queens, a free puppet show, June 10th at 10:30 a.m. I mean, this is really taxi stuff, folks. And a pet adoption event on June 27th from 12 to 4. And what could I say? The Briarwood Action Network, go to their website. I'm sure you'll find all the other stuff they have very interesting that they do. More emails. Oh, let's see. Here's one. Love your show. One humble request. More content related to our beloved New York City taxi industry. Thank you for your dedication, being the loudest, most important voice on the radio and in print. Appreciate everything you do. The electric taxi driver. Okay, psychedelic, man. Well, this is Memorial Day, so we did go a little off topic. And listen, somebody, you can relate to being ripped off when you're buying a car, and also I thought it proper to speak to the chairman of the Veterans Committee on this Memorial Day weekend. So speaking of the electric taxi driver, there's an electric guitarist. You know, towards the end of the show, I'd like to have some personal fun here. And a few months ago, by accident, I met Jason D'Amico, who is, this kid can play guitar circles around the best guitarist you ever heard, or at least as good. Blew me away. And he's a young man, and he taught himself the guitar. Jason D'Amico, welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
Good to be here, Dave. Thanks for having me back on.
Okay. You've been nominated for 2 awards in the Carolina Music Awards, and I know we have listeners in Carolina because I read off the states where people actually listen to the show. So, you know, we have listeners in like 40 states and all over the world, including... We just got an email from Edinburgh, Scotland. So, well, you know, why are you listening to us from Edinburgh, Scotland? I don't know, but I'm glad you do. Don't get me wrong. So, you need a little help with something. Why don't you tell our folks what you're nominated for right now and the help that you need? Because I would like to help you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Just got nominated for and very graciously by the Carolina Music Awards for 2 awards in their program, the Rock Male Artist of the Year Award and Video of the Year for Rock Country Artists. And I got nominated for Rock Male Artist of the Year last year, so very humbled to have that again this year as a nomination, and then added on with the Video of the Year, with the music video for the song you just played, actually. Hold Me a Little Closer. So that's pretty much the scene right now.
And if our listeners want to hear some of your music, but more importantly, want to help you, can they go to one website which kind of does both?
You got it, yeah. JasonDamico.com. That's JasonDamico.com. You can Google it. It'll pop right up. And just wanted to let you guys know that if you cast in a vote and check out the website for both categories, you guys get a free MP3 download of the song Road to Righteousness. It's available to all voters. So go, guys, you know, get your free MP3 when you're there.
Jason D'Amico, not D'Amico, sorry.
No problem. It was D'Amico the first time I was on a while back, so no problem at all.
Well, I'm 50% too, just like Marilyn from Sausalito, with a buying, of course. So Jason, Jason, D'Amico, D-A-M-I-C-O.com, and we're going to try to help you vote, especially you listeners down south who love country music and across the world who like rock and roll and country music. Check out the website.
Even though it's in Carolina, anybody can vote. So anybody listening in the tri-state area or anywhere in the United States, around the world, internationally, you guys can vote. Thank
Frank,
you for your support.
Frank, I want you to vote right after the show.
Listen, I'm logging in right now.
Oh, thanks, Frank. Thank you so much. I can't thank you guys enough, and just really, really can't thank you enough.
All right, Jason, when you're back in New York, come on and let us know where you're playing. We'll give you a shout-out.
Definitely. We'll be up in the Orange County Fair up in Middletown, New York. That's July 25th, around 7 p.m., and then the Wild Rodeo in Bloomingburg, New York, July 31st, starting at 8 p.m. So maybe we'll see you guys there.
Sounds good. Thanks for being All on right. the show. Let's get back to some taxi stuff. Like our listeners want. So, Mike from JFK, you're live on the Taxi Dave Show. Oh, we just lost him. What could I tell you? Let's see. Oh, Taxi Dave, you have a very funny show. Later. Okay, later to you, too. So, let me tell you some stuff about the MTA. Disabled riders, okay, are suing the MTA for rejecting accessoride applicants to find out why they were turned down for accessoride. What they're doing, folks, is they're saying, okay, we're turning you down for accessoride, and, you know, disabilities prevent them from using public transportation to begin, so they need accessoride. But when they're turned down, according to a report, they either have to take a cab or rely on friends because they can't take public transportation because they're disabled. So the lawsuit accuses the MTA of lying to applicants when it rejects their appeals, and it hides the fact that they can appeal in court and tells them only that they have to start the process all over again. Their black box application process denies individuals the notice and opportunity to be heard, which they're legally entitled, and that's what the suit says. No surprise, an MTA spokesman declined to comment. Here's one on the MTA. It doesn't expect to install the high-tech control system that can stop a speeding train until 2018, 3 years later than required by law. Now, listen to this. This high-tech control system, this positive train control system, could have prevented the last deadly Amtrak crash near Philadelphia, Frank. You know, and here's MTA dragging its feet. We'll do it by 2018. We're supposed to have it done this year. What do you think?
Listen, they don't want to get rushed. It's 2018 becomes 2020. At the end of the day, we're paying, you know, ridiculous fares to ride trains. It would be nice to be able to get there with a certain degree of safety. Do we know why? What's causing the delay? Or is it something that they felt wasn't maybe important enough to get done on time?
I can't answer that, but I think...
Why not? Why can't you answer that question?
Because I'm Taxi Dave. I'm not MTA Dave. Let's get MTA Dave on the phone, Frank.
Let's find MTA Dave. We got to get him on the show next week.
Yeah, good luck finding him.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
And here's another thing about buses. You know, they have this new Speedy Select bus service. What people need to know was there were 163,000 fewer bus riders in the city last year, even compared to 2009. Now, tens of thousands have been leaving Brooklyn and Manhattan bus ridership because you take this woman, Bridget Sheehy. You know, she gave a quote about the M15 on 2nd Avenue. Now, the 1st and 2nd Avenue buses, you can't be in that lane at all or you're going to get a summons, okay? And what she says is she finds the ride too slow. And here's a quote. Sometimes I feel walking is quicker than taking the bus, you know. And that she said to a reporter moments before she hopped in a yellow cab so she could arrive on time to work. So there you go. We're helping. We're faster than the buses because even the there's so much traffic, even the fast buses can't move. Okay, now you know the fast bus routes have time saving features. They have dedicated lanes, offboard fare payment. You can enter and exit on different entrances of the bus. You know, but traffic in New York City makes it slow for everybody. So if it's making it slow for MTA and they want to put more rapid buses, you know, on the roads in New York City, when is something going to be done about all these licenses that have been given out, you know, to app-based companies? I mean, there's 15,000, you know, new apps, this app-based drivers, probably 5,000 more cars, you know, every day. It's just getting worse and worse. Okay, listen, I want to thank all our guests, Senator Klein, Councilman Ulrich, all the callers, all the listeners, all the texters, all the emailers. This is the Taxi Dave Show. I'm here with Frank Fenizia, and we're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. And thank all the people at the Intrepid Sea Air and Space Museum. I got to go now. Hey, taxi! Take me to that veterans home, man.
This has been a podcast from WOR.